certified foreign service, starting mileage 94219421. Officers Perkins and George, tour of duty 6 p.m. 2 a.m. on the night watch.
954-609 p.m. starting night watch.
This is Don Reed. I'm a police recorder. You're riding in a detective unit reporting in service on the night watch. As you go along with us, remember, this is it. This is real. This is what happens on the night watch.
Night watch. The actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. There are no actors. There is no script. Every voice, every sound is authentic. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. Night Watch is presented with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California. W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. We switch you now to Car 5-4 on patrol and to Police Recorder Don Reed.
It's 6:09 p.m. and we're just starting out patrol on the Night Watch. By the way, Don, I think we'd better keep in pretty close touch with Control 1 tonight. Anything cooking? I don't want to jinx anything by saying too much, but do you remember that holdup we had in the market last week?
Yeah,
we got one suspect, and the other fellow flew the coop.
So?
Well, Warden Walter is still working on that case, and we might get some action before the night's over with. Mm. By the way, you got a cigarette?
I thought you quit smoking.
Well, you know how it is.
Control 1 to 5-4. Contact the officer at Dennison Sterling Way, holding a shoplifting suspect. 6:11 p.m.
5-4, 10-4.
All right, you've just heard that call. I should judge... We're taking off now. I should judge we're just a block or two away, actually, from where this call has been reported. Now, we have nothing further than just what you heard over the air, that a shoplifting suspect is being held, apparently, by one of our officers. We're not very far away. We're coming right into a business section. And as soon as we slip along past a few cars, we'll be able to turn onto the boulevard that should produce the scene here. As a matter of fact, we'll have to stop for a boulevard stop, slowing down now and making a turn. Now we're on the street, and it should be in this next block. Isn't that right, Sergeant?
Yes, there's the officer right up there.
Yeah, all right. Here he is, directly ahead. We're coming into the curb now. I can see the officer standing there. He has a suspect in custody. So let's go along with the officers now.
Officer Cameron, what happened up here?
Well, I was walking beat when I walked past Grant's. The manager came out and talked to me and says that one of his sales lady observed this woman placing 15 shirts in a paper bag. And when the woman noticed that she was spotted, she immediately placed the shirts back and started out. However, the manager talked to me and pointed out the woman, and I stopped her, and after interrogation, I called you.
Is that the woman over there?
Yes, it is.
Let's go over and talk to her.
I can see the shoplifting suspect standing in the archway of this store in custody of another officer, and she's dressed in a short-sleeved sweater with a light blue skirt. As I'm entering this alcove, I have the feeling I'm talking in a tunnel. Well, now, here's the picture. The suspect is unusually nervous and has a strange blank stare, almost as if she were looking at you, but she didn't see you. Now, the sergeant is questioning her about shoplifting 15 shirts. But I can tell by the expression on his face, there's something wrong here.
I don't know. That's why I put them back.
Have you ever been arrested before?
Yes, I have. I don't know what it was. If they're offering or soliciting or what, I don't know, but
right.
One or the other. Just one.
I noticed that you have some marks on your arms there. What are they from?
I fell about 2 weeks ago.
What about this scar on this arm over here?
I don't know what that scar is.
Have you ever used narcotics of any kind?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever been arrested for narcotics?
No, I haven't. No.
It's very similar. I notice on this one here, and I notice a little mark up here.
That is where I fell.
This scar is comparatively new.
That's where I picked it.
Like
I fell.
Two marks in there in addition to the scar.
No, sir. They're not no marks. It's where I fell and scratched my arm on the fence.
How about
fence.
This one right here?
I don't know what that is. I guess it's just a pimple like over here on this other one.
Well, there's two little points right on that one there.
It's the the skin of it is there. It's not a pin mark. See there?
I think that you're going to have to be held on a narcotics charge.
Oh.
Until we can have this checked.
Well, why? It's not a narcotic. I mean, that's not no narcotic. That's when I sprayed my arm on the fence when I fell with the baby, where you can easily see
you
here.
You also have other marks. You've got a mark over his arm here.
But that's not a narcotic mark.
Well, you can feel the raid on it right there.
These scars been on here, I don't know how long. I don't even know what they're from. I don't recall what they're from.
This blue mark right here.
That's the mole. I have them all over me. There's another one.
This one is blue right in the vein.
Here's another one right here.
Well, I think we're going to hold you until we check on it.
Oh, now that's so unfair.
The suspect is being taken into custody now by Sergeant Perkins and is being escorted to our police car. Now, we've observed there is sufficient evidence of the use of narcotics to warrant further investigation. So now, back to headquarters. I am speaking now from the Detective Bureau in Police Headquarters. And Sergeant Perkins has already explained to Lieutenant Conlon, Chief of Detectives, the circumstances regarding the arrest. The suspect is being brought into the office now by the matron. It is being seated across the desk from Lieutenant Conlon. Let's get in behind and listen to this interrogation.
Well, I'll ask you something. Have you ever used any narcotics?
No, sir, I never have.
Are you positive of that?
Yes, sir, I am positive.
Did you ever smoke any marijuana?
Yes, I have.
You smoke marijuana?
Yes, I have.
About how many sticks did you smoke a week?
Maybe two.
Two?
That's the most that I recall.
Did you ever feel like that you would like to go to something a little bit heavier than marijuana?
No.
Do you mind if I look at your arms?
No, sir, I don't.
You see this snake that runs from here down to here?
Mm-hmm.
What caused that? See
here? No, just here.
Right here. There's a continuous snake that runs all the way down your arm on this main line down here. Here's a bruise spot here.
That's the mole.
What caused this?
I don't know. At different times I've hurt myself. That's all.
And you mean to tell me this is caused from a cut?
I have proof. That's no nothing stuck in me.
I know that you have smoked marijuana, which you told me you have smoked marijuana.
Yes, sir.
And there is every reason in the world to believe that you have graduated to H.
I see it is.
And you don't know what caused this scar here?
I don't know. If I scratched myself at some time or something, it's been a long time ago. I know that whenever it happened. I haven't had anything on there recently.
How many people do you know that smoke marijuana now? Tell me the truth.
I'm thinking. I mean, did I actually know that smoke marijuana? Maybe five or six.
Well, what do you think, Lieutenant Collins?
Well, I think that she's definitely addicted to narcotics. Her arms show so. She has a snake that runs about 6 inches through the main part of her arm, and she has one in the bend of her arm near the main line, which indicates to me that she is a user of narcotics of some form or other.
Okay, well, shall we take her down and book her on narcotics?
Yeah, take her down and book her for an addict, 11-721 of the H&S code, and see that she's booked and searched by the matron.
Okay, we'll do it, Lieutenant.
Well, Policewoman Pinkston is taking the suspect out of the office and down to the booking desk.
Well, what happens now, Sergeant?
You know, Don, we can get help for her if she wants it. But if she doesn't, well, it's her life.
Been back on patrol for better than 30 minutes. And a few moments ago, car 5-3 received a prowler call. Since we're the only detective unit in the area, we're rolling in to see if any assistance is necessary. The only information we have is, of course, that radio transmission which said that there's a prowler on the north side of the building. We don't have anything further at all on that. Incidentally, we're approaching the area now. Sergeant, just cut the lights, just in case. There's our uniform car directly ahead. And looking over, the two officers have a suspect in custody. Everything seems to be pretty much under control. Now, let's get out and check this out with the officers. Out of the car. The suspect is well-dressed. However, now that I get a closer look at him, it appears that he's been walking on his hands and knees. And incidentally, the entire left side of his body is bent way over to one side. Frankly, it's difficult to see how he remains standing. Officer George and his partner are questioning the suspect. Let's move in a little closer.
Don't live no place, sir, but I am staying at the hotel.
So you live at the hotel
no,
now?
No, sir, I do not. Tonight I do. Yes, sir.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing around those apartments back there, a couple blocks back? Wandering around behind them.
I don't believe I was, sir, but if you say I was, you have it.
The situation
your way,
is obvious. The suspect appears to be under the influence and is listening to the port side, I'd say about 30 degrees. Consequently, when he tried to walk down the street, he wound up going up someone's driveway in the dark, bumping the sides of buildings. Result, a prowler call.
What have you been drinking?
Scotch and water, sir.
How much?
Oh, I dare say $5 worth.
Mm-hmm. Well, as far as I'm concerned, he's in no condition to take care of himself.
Definitely.
Suppose he get in the police car.
Roger. But why? Why make
Because you're under the influence of alcohol in public.
May I go home and not have it, May I get up tomorrow and not have it?
Personally, I don't think you can make it home. The way you're walking, the way you're standing.
Well,
I'll tell you what. You see this line right
yes,
here?
Yes, sir.
See this line?
Yes, sir.
Can you walk down it like this, put your heel to your toe just like that, and walk
I'll
straight
try.
Down it like I'm doing?
I'll try, sir.
All right, try that until I tell you to stop.
I dare say I won't be able to do it.
Well, go ahead and give it away.
Well, I'll give it a try. I know in advance I shan't be able to do it, sir.
Okay. Arrest me. Do this, then. Put your...
This business, maybe I can do that. But if you're going to arrest me, I'm sorry.
Well, we're sorry, too. Suppose you get in the police car.
That more or less speaks for itself. The suspect is under arrest and is being placed in Unit 5-3. So, let's get back to our car and continue patrol on the night watch.
You are listening to Night Watch and following a detective unit on its tour of duty. Every voice, every sound is authentic. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. We'll bring you the final results of tonight's cases at the conclusion of The Night Watch. Defense of our country is not a responsibility just for the military. It's up to every one of us to help. The Air Force has formed the Ground Observer Corps as a nationwide civilian component of the Air Defense Command. Sign up to become a Ground Observer Corps volunteer in your locality. Write or telephone your nearest Civil Defense Center. Now we switch you back to police headquarters and police recorder Don Reed.
Police Department, Officer Lang?
Yes, sir.
Yes, just a moment. He's standing right here. Sergeant Perkins, for you.
Thanks, sir. Perkins? Yeah. Oh, good. When did you pick him up? Okay, well, bring him on into the station, and we'll meet you at the Dick's Bureau. Okay.
Okay.
Looks like our information was correct, Don.
Yeah, how's that?
Well, remember that second suspect we were looking for, the one that stuck up the market last week?
Yeah.
Ward and Walters got him, and they're bringing him in now.
It's 11:40 p.m., almost an hour since we received that phone call. We're located now in the Detective Bureau here at headquarters. In just a few moments, the 211 suspect we were referring to will be brought into the office. Incidentally, 211 in police terminology means armed robbery. It'll be a moment or two, so let me fill you in on the picture. Last week, two men held up a market. Well, fortunately, an alert citizen got the license number of the getaway car. Result, one suspect was captured that night. Now, that was last week, you may remember. However, the second suspect, or the older one of the pair, managed to escape arrest when the two split up that night. He went into hiding, and when he became confident that he had made a clean getaway, the suspect returned to his old haunts, trying to find his partner. Well, that's where he made his mistake, because tonight he walked into the arms of two detectives. The prisoner is being brought into the room now by Detective Walter. Sergeant Perkins will take notes, and Sergeant Ward will question him.
What about the robbery in the Culver City Market down there?
I robbed it.
Well, tell us about it. How'd you get the idea to stick that place up?
Well, we looked around, and it was a market, you know, with a cash register in the front. Uh-huh. And not having any experience, I said, well, now that's the place to go, right there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's easy, you know. Anybody can do it. It's not too good. The fact is, I've been a pretty good man, but I'm not anymore. Now, the way it happened, went in, I said, you take the money and I'll watch everybody, you know. Mm-hmm. So this guy, he gets a jar of peanut butter. Said, how much is that? She told him. And he reached in his pocket, said, you got change for 10? He didn't have a dime. She said, yeah. She opened the cash register. So I pull out this gun. I said, all right, get the money. She said, quit that. I guess it didn't look much like a gun to her, but it was. Pretty good imitation, at least. I said, here's your head. Open that thing again.
You got real mean.
Huh? Oh, yeah. So she opened it. Of course, I wouldn't shut. But anyway, she opened it, and he took the money, and that's all there is to it.
What was the motivating factor of it?
I'll tell you exactly the whole story. Mm-hmm. I'm a robber. I came out of the Veterans Hospital, and I said, well, now, I've got to loaf a while before I go to work. I had a little money. So I went over. They got a son. I said, he's AWOL again. Four times. Since you saw him, he's been drafted in the Army, and he's been AWOL four times. Said he's married. He's got a wife here. He's going to have a baby in about 3 weeks. Well, then I met his wife because she followed me. I said, I'll send her to the hospital. Well, I sent her. I ain't got no money. I said, you can get out and make some, can't you? You're a great big boy now, 21, in the Army. I thought, that's him. Can't even go to the doctor. Hasn't got a dime. Mm-hmm. I said, well, look, you're no good. You've never been. He's a, you know, purse snatcher. Snatches purse from women, thing like that. And he's a big husky, too. But anyway, I said, well, why don't you do something and get some money? What can I do? I said, I'll show you. I said, you got a gun? No. I said, I'll go get one. We'll rob somebody. We'll put the girl in the hospital and take care of her. Okay. Said, they won't do no more for you that than well for robbing women. Got me an old pretty good imitation of a gun and went down. And I said, let's go. How we do it? I can just pick a place. Rob them, that's all there is to it. I ain't ever had no experience at all. Now, he claimed he had, but now you'll find that's a lie. He said him and Bulldog, the guy that's in jail for forgery, in prison, rather, said him and Bulldog used to rob these places. You'll find that's a lie. I bet you $10 he never robbed a place before in his life. And I know I didn't. But anyway, we went in, robbed a man, took the money, and drove on home. I said, now go in and give your wife the money. Tell her to go to the hospital and so on and so on. No, he said, I got to get out of town. They might have got the number of this car.
How much money did you get?
I don't know. He had it. Now, it was closed. I'll tell you what. I can tell you within $20 what it was. Okay. It was between $180 and $200.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did he keep all that money?
Oh, no. We split it up.
Split it up. 50-50.
Boy, evenly. 50-50. But there was between $180 and $200.
Yeah. How long did you shop around before you figured that you'd hit this Culver City market?
Quite a while. Quite a mean. We looked over three or four places. At least two that was undecided about.
Both of them markets?
Yeah.
Remember where they were?
No, I don't even know where this one was. I could find it again, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I don't even know where it was.
What made you pick this particular place? Any particular reason?
No. Now, he picked where he's appointed, you know. And I just picked this one because I was looking for a market. And I picked this one, I guess, because I thought it was easy, you know. It looked like it just... Well, it was. It was awfully easy to rob a place. Anybody could do that. That's nothing.
You remember going in the market 15 minutes before you stuck the place up?
We went in there. It wasn't 15 minutes or something. I'd say half an hour before.
Okay.
Yeah, I went in there and he bought some chewing gum.
What were you doing then? Sort of casing the place?
Sure, looking over.
Uh-huh.
Well, when you both went in there, you both knew that... what was going to happen.
Oh, yeah, we went in there to rob it and did rob it.
I mean, you discussed it before you
went
in
there. Oh, yeah, sure.
What if that guy in there would have...
But I still went to jail because I was going to tell a man. That's the first time in my life I ever took anything from anybody. And do you know what I can do? I can make your eyeballs bug out.
With what?
With a gun. And I wouldn't shoot anybody for anything in the world.
Are you a good shot with a gun?
I'm not only a good one, but the best.
With a pistol, huh?
Mm-hmm. Our rifle. I was 7 years an instructor in the Marines.
Right?
Teaching that every day, shooting every day. We have a bobbin target. If either one of you in service, you know what a bobbin target is. It doesn't go up and down like it sounds, but it goes this way.
Yeah.
You know, it's made of cardboard. A silhouette. Well, each time it turns, every 3 seconds, you see, it's 3 seconds toward you and 3 seconds away. You shoot that one time, then once you're ready, you shoot again. I was working on it, range for about a year, and I said to Thomas, Thomas was world champion at the time. I said, how many times could you hit that on one turn if you wanted to? He said, I don't know. Two or three, I guess. I said, let's try it. So we come up, when it turns, bam, bam, bam. Get three hits on it, you know. I said, if a man practiced that, he could get fast. I said, it might help a man sometime. You know, you get down in the jungle. So we start practicing. And Thomas, he said, well, we don't do that in the national matches. You know, at Count Perry, you don't do that. So he didn't fool with it. But I kept on. And I got so I could put one shell in the chamber, seven in the clip, and on one turn, I'd hit that seven times straight, and one time it would be turning, one long one, you know. I could hit her 8 times in 3 seconds. So I used to watch and fellas come up with these blue and gold badges. That's distinguished, you know. I'd say, after they shoot this, that's the last thing you shoot at, see, Bob and Target. One time every 3 seconds, you know. I'd say, if you wanted to, how many times could you hit that on one turn? Well, I don't know, two or three, I guess. Let's try it and see. So I'd tell a man, I'd say, all right, run it again. He'd run it, and the guy'd blam, blam, maybe three, sometime four, you know. I said, it seemed to me like a man ought to get that 6-7 times. No, no, that's too fast. I'll tell you what I'll do now. I don't know, but I'll bet you that I can hit it 8 times in 3 seconds. I'll bet you a dinner at the club. That's a bet. I used to eat dinner every day on some poor sucker, you know. I thought I'd practice it over a year. Well, one day our captain come down. His name was Colony. And he said, what kind of racket you got here? And I said, I don't know what you mean. He said, every day I see you in a club eating, you never pay. I said, oh, I get these suckers, and I bet them I can hit that bobbin target 8 times in 3 seconds. 8 times? Yes. He said, well, meet another sucker. And so I bet you can't do it. I'd like to see it. So I eat off of him, too.
What would you have done if that guy in the store would have pulled out a gun?
I'd have shot it out of his hand, shot his arm. I could hit his arm easy. I could hit one eye. I told a man one time, and I wasn't lying to him. I said, I'll shoot out your right eye or your left one, and I'll drill you another in between them, just whichever you want.
Did you have any shells for that gun?
You didn't take a shell.
Well, now, wait just a second. You said that this man had pulled a gun on you. Well, you'd have shot him. Shot the gun out of his hand. How could you?
Yeah, I'd have heard bang, bang. Hey, now listen, fellas. I'm going to plead guilty to robbing the man, please. I am. I'm going to plead guilty. I won't make no excuses, and I won't tell nobody I was doing it for somebody else because I wasn't. And
everything you told us is...
Everything I told you is the truth. I'm just going to plead guilty.
What about this $3,000 market job that you told this kid that you were in on?
Oh, I've never told him in my life.
That's what he says.
Did you ever stick up any place else?
No, never have.
Did you ever tell this kid that you stuck up?
No. Now, he was the one that was sticking up, and I told you. I said, I bet you $10 he'd never stuck up a place in his life. He was green as I was, greener.
When you bought this gun, did you have any intention of using it for...
That was what I was going to do with it.
You fully intended
to use it? Oh, yeah.
Well, you bought the gun after you met this kid or before?
Mm-hmm.
After you met him?
Yeah. After we'd planned to rob this place. Someplace, you know, not this one. Just rob a place.
Okay, we'll take him back and lock him up for the night then.
Right.
I'm sorry. I called you guys some trouble, but...
That's all right. We did pay for it.
You have been listening to Actual Investigations as recorded from Detective Unit 5-4 on The Night Watch. And now back to Police Headquarters and Chief W.N. Hildebrand.
In the case tonight of the woman arrested on the charge of shoplifting and suspicion of being a narcotic addict, the department store manager dropped the shoplifting complaint in view of the seriousness of the narcotic charge, and in order to help this department obtain the proper treatment for her. The last case heard tonight cleared our records of the market holdup, with both suspects admitting their participation in the armed robbery. I might mention at this time the penalty for this crime is a minimum of 5 years in the state prison. One of the keys to the quick solution of this case was an alert citizen taking the license number of a suspicious car. Given this information, our detective bureau under Lieutenant Bob Conlon followed the trail for over a week before finally locating and arresting the second suspect. Our city presents a difficult problem of police work because of our geographical location. We are located in the heart of a large metropolitan area. My department is cooperating to bring you the on-the-scene action of the Night Watch to show you the important part that you as a citizen can play in keeping your police department an effective organization. If through this program we can further that cause, then our efforts will be well rewarded.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have just heard on-the-scene reports of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch, brought to you through the cooperation of your police department of Culver City, California, is produced by Sterling Tracy and Jim Hedlock, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins, and described in the field by police recorder Don Reed.